As the stewards are taking up the benevolent fund offering, just want to bring to your attention that the Men for the Master are planning a family bike ride at the end of the month on the 27th of June, Saturday morning. We plan to some of us ride from the church to Oshoko and back. Others, maybe with smaller children, who want to just ride on the promenade, the Durban promenade. We'll be meeting at the Durban North, the promenade at Blue Lagoon. And just want to let you know about that, so that if you would like to take part in that, we'll be giving more detailed announcements over the next few weeks. But if you'd like to be part of that, you can start now putting that into your plans for the end of the month. Just another announcement that I want to bring to your attention, and that is sad news this week that Dina Dias' mom passed away. Beginning of the week, and so we just want to express our condolences to Dina and to Caesar and to the rest of the family, and really just commit them to the Lord in prayer as they go through this time of bereavement and grief. And so be sure to pray for them and remember them in your prayers at this time. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 8 this morning. And we're going to look at verse 26 to 40, Acts 8, verse 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasures. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him, and who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer this morning. Father, we come to this time in our service where we again submit ourselves to your word and pray that your Spirit would wash your word over our lives and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and draw us back into a relationship with you that you would desire of us. We pray, Lord God, that we would learn how to be more and more the people that you want us to be from your word this morning. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, my wife came to me with a little project. A little project. She wanted two new bedside tables for our bedroom, and so I was expected to suddenly click my fingers and make these little bedside tables happen. Any of you know that I love a bit of woodwork, and so it was a pleasure for me to make the tables. It was really a joy to go out and to work in the workshop one Saturday morning and to put these tables together. But not long after, I had cut all the wood to the size that I need and had began assembling these tables, that my eldest son, Troyden, came along and he wanted to join with Dad in building these tables for Mom. And so for a while I got him involved in gluing planks together and screwing in screws with a cordless drill, which he thought was a gun and he just was wanting to shoot all the time. And got him sanding with the orbital sander, which made dust everywhere, and he just loved it. He was like a pig in mud. The project nevertheless took me a lot longer than I had planned because of his involvement. But I was so thrilled that he took an interest in what I was doing, and he wanted to be part of what I was doing. But what really blew me away was how thrilled and how honored almost it seemed, and a privilege it was for him to have worked with Dad and to have come and had something to show his brothers and his mother that he was involved in. I mean, he just couldn't stop speaking about how he built these tables. Don't worry about Dad, but how he did it. But there was such joy in his heart that he was allowed to be a part of what Dad was doing. And that really just touched me and kind of touched my heart as well when I was thinking about this passage this morning from God's Word about Philip and about the Ethiopian eunuch and what God was doing in his life. You see, when we come to the book of Acts, we soon become aware that God is busy with a project. That God, our Heavenly Father, has a project that he is working on in this world. And we know that is God is building his church. God is calling people out of their rebellion against him to a life that is pleasing to him. He is gathering people from Jerusalem right to the ends of the earth to experience his great grace and mercy that we have celebrated, that we've boasted about this morning in Jesus Christ. God is building his family. God is building his church. We also have seen in the book of Acts so far that God has invited people, those whom he is working in, those whom he is building up to be his church, to join him also in this joyous experience of building his church. We see that it began with the apostles and how they were the ones initially used to start establishing God's church, but the invitation went out to Stephen and to Philip and to the entire church of God to come and join with God in building his church, bringing people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God is building his church with the sole purpose of magnifying and glorifying himself amongst his creation. And he invites us, his church, to join him in this project because he also knows that when we are part of what he is doing, it will bring us great joy and great satisfaction, great honor that we are part of what our Creator is doing amongst us. So often we feel when we come to think about building God's church or growing God's church or establishing God's church that the responsibility rests solely on us, that we need to come up with the projects and the gimmicks and the relevancy ways of how to do this, because the pressure is on us that if we don't build God's church is going to die and fade away and that's going to be it. But I was thinking, does a God who initiated his plan of building his church in Jesus Christ, does God, who is the one who's got everything under control and working all things to the pinnacle of his church, magnifying him one day, does he really need us? to build his church? I guess not. But does God choose to invite you and me, his church, to be part of what he is doing? This glorious task of having a people that are saved and rescued from a rebellious way be brought into a relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ, that will one day sing with the praises of all creation at how great and glorious God is. Wouldn't it be great to be a part of what God is doing to bring that about? And that's why God invites us, his church, to enjoy and to feel honored and to feel a part of what he is doing. Witnessing, evangelism, missions, building God's church is an invitation to join God in what God is doing to make his name famous amongst all creation. And if it's intended to bring us great delight, and if God intends it to bring us great joy and satisfaction, building his church, then we ought all to be asking, well, how do I join God in building his church? How do I, here in Durban North Baptist Church, amongst my family, amongst my business, amongst the believers that are gathered here this morning, how do I join with God in what God is doing out there amongst the people of the Durban North community in bringing these people to worship and to praise the God who has saved us and has promised us eternal life with him? Well, I believe our passage this morning points to the answer to that question. You see, Philip, we have seen, has joined God's project, building his church, already in chapter 6. Chapter 6, Philip was one of those who was called by God to serve widows in the church at Jerusalem, to help continue the work of building his church. He was the man that we read in the beginning of chapter 8 that joined God in building his church in Samaria, a place where Judaism or the Jews didn't really want to go to because the Samaritans were kind of excluded from the pure and righteous Jews of the time. But Philip was joining God in building God's church as God was calling the nations and people groups of the world to himself. And now we come to our passage this morning where God is the one who is building his church to the ends of the earth. God is building his church, or going to begin to build his church in Africa, the continent that we live in, through this Ethiopian eunuch that finds himself on a road near Jerusalem. And so we can learn much about how to join God in building his church from the life of Philip. And just like little Troyden coming with delight at the end of the project and finding great contentment in helping Dad build that project, we can also learn how to find great contentment, great joy in joining with God in building his church where we are, where we're at and where we find ourselves. And so, firstly this morning, I want to point to you that joining God's project or joining God building his church involves being in touch with God's Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 6 that Philip was a man full of the Spirit of God, which means the work of God's Spirit was visibly present in his life. The relationship he enjoyed with God through faith in Jesus Christ was evident to all in Philip's life because of what the Spirit of God was producing in his life. The Spirit of God is the one that produces righteousness, good deeds, the things that please God in our life. How he spoke, how he behaved, how he related to other people, how he worshipped, how he handled trials and challenges were directed by God's Spirit dwelling within his life, recalling what he learned about God in the Scriptures, inspiring him to be motivated to be obedient to what God had taught him through the Scriptures. And before he knew it, God was producing by his Spirit love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit was evident in Philip's life. And when the Spirit of God is working in our lives to produce these good deeds and this fruit of the Spirit, the life that Christ would want us to live, the invitation comes to us from God through His Spirit to join with God in building God's church. And so we're not surprised to see the Spirit's involvement and the invitation of the Spirit in Philip's life to join God in bringing message to this Ethiopian eunuch. It's not surprising to see Philip, who's in touch with the Spirit of God and what God is doing in his own life, respond to the Spirit's leading by being available to go to the Ethiopian eunuch and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, in verse 5 to 8 of chapter 8, we read that Philip was experiencing God's great work in the city of Samaria. People were being delivered from demon possession. People were being healed in the name of Jesus Christ. People were joining God's church. God was building His church in Samaria. And Philip was a part of that joyous occasion as he joined God in witnessing and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I say it was a joyous occasion because in verse 8 we read that there was much joy in that city. The joy of the Lord was evident in people coming to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And friends, if you want to know ultimate joy, lead someone to Christ. Lead someone to the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Show someone the way out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll experience joy that is beyond any joy that this world could provide for you. This is the joy that was being experienced in Samaria at this time as God was building His church there and Philip had joined God in what he was doing. Now one would imagine that Philip would want to stay in Samaria, would want to stay in this revival that was taking place in the city, would want to stay and disciple those new converts. I mean, who would want to leave a scene like that where people were giving their lives to the Lord daily and God was building His church? Wouldn't that be a fabulous place to find ourselves day in and day out? Who would want to leave that? But because Philip was in touch with God's Spirit, because he was full of the Spirit's presence in his life, when the invitation of the Lord to come and join him in building His church came through the angel, Philip heard and was obedient to that call. Philip left that joyous occasion for a dusty road on the way to Gaza from Jerusalem. And because Philip was in touch with God's Spirit, verse 27 says, he didn't give a second thought to the joyous occasion of what was happening in Samaria. He left and went to where God was leading him to go, to help him and to join him in building His church. We also read in verse 29 that when Philip found himself on that road, he found this Ethiopian. It was the Spirit of God who again directed him to go over and join this chariot, which Philip did. God, through His Spirit, was leading Philip to exactly the person that God was working in his heart and in his life in. God, through His Spirit, was leading Philip to where God was building His church. Without the Spirit, Philip might have tried to build God's church somewhere else. But God, through His Spirit, clearly directed Philip to the person that He wanted Philip to go to. And so it's vital, friends, if we're going to be part of what God is doing in the world out there, if we're going to be part of what God is doing in our community and building His church, we need to be Spirit-led. We need to be filled with God's Spirit. We need to know and be directed and guided by God's Spirit where He wants us to go, where He wants us to share that good news. We need to be full of the Spirit's sanctifying work in our own lives that nothing unpleasing to God would prevent us from hearing God's call on our lives. Nothing would prevent us from hearing that invitation from God saying, come build with me in this person's life. And so we need to be in touch with God's Spirit if we want to join God in building His church. We learn secondly from Philip's life that joining God requires that we are to be in touch with God's gospel. I can only imagine or begin to imagine what was going through the mind of Philip as he approached this Ethiopian's entourage. After all, he was no ordinary eunuch. He was a man set apart for the royal task of being in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia, Candace. Basically, he was the minister of finance or the secretary of the treasury. I'm sure he had many blue lights around him and was going at a speed along that road to Gaza. But nonetheless, this man was a Gentile, a person who was excluded in the past from God's special people, according to the Jews. On top of that, he was a eunuch, a man emasculated, and therefore he could not enjoy the sign of belonging to God's people, that sign of circumcision, and therefore excluded from entering the temple to worship God. Yet here was a man whom God had begun a work in. God had brought him to Jerusalem to worship him there, to seek him. Philip was in touch with the gospel of God because he knew that the gospel of God included all people, that it wasn't only reserved for a specific race or for a specific ethnicity, but it was for all people. Christ had come to rescue all of God's people across the world and bring them into a relationship with Him. God's good news of salvation is for all people. And so when the Spirit of God directed Philip to this chariot, to this Gentile slave, and when he was invited by the eunuch to join him in the chariot, to explain the scriptures to him, to explain the gospel of God, Philip didn't think twice about it. Why? Because he was in touch with the gospel of God and what it meant for all people. We also see that Philip was in touch with the gospel of God, and that when he heard the Ethiopian reading and asking him to understand the gospel or understand that reading, Philip said, well, do you need explaining? I'll explain it to you. I'll tell you about who this writer is talking about. Implying that Philip understood the gospel of God because he was in touch with the gospel of God. He knew that the scriptures, all of the scriptures, right from Genesis through to Revelation, point to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so therefore, when he heard this Ethiopian eunuch reading the scriptures, he saw immediately an opportunity to point him to the gospel, to point him to Jesus, and to lead him to that life that God would want for him. The scripture the Ethiopian was reading on this time was that portion we find in Isaiah 53. And it says in verse 35 that beginning with this piece of scripture, he told him the good news of Jesus. Just in some thinking around this passage, this passage in Isaiah 53, we know it to be the passage of the suffering servant. I wonder how much this passage was meaningful to this Ethiopian eunuch, maybe this suffering servant of the queen of Ethiopia, and how he was explained that the suffering servant was the Savior of the world. And that he could identify with this Ethiopian eunuch in every way and be his Savior. I think Philip was able to use this scripture in a relevant way in the Ethiopian's life. I think that's the way in which we are in touch with the gospel of God. When we are in touch with the gospel of God and we know what it means to us today, we know how it applies to those around us, to our family and to our friends. We know how we can use it relevantly in the lives of those that God is leading us to share the good news. That's when we stay in touch with the gospel. And Philip was in touch with the gospel that gives life. And he was able to impart life through what God was doing in that Ethiopian's life on this occasion through the gospel. If we want to join God in building His church, we better be in touch with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We better know how it impacts our lives each and every day and the lives of those around us. Lastly, we learn from Philip that joining God requires that we are in touch with the people of God. We are in touch with the people of God. John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Philip was in touch with people because he had that love of God for people, that was willing to sacrifice, was willing to give up his time, was willing to give up his joy and pleasure that he was experiencing in Samaria, to go where God wanted him to go. Even to the hard places of a dusty road to Gaza. We also see this love for God's people, and that when this Ethiopian wanted to be baptized in response to his faith in Jesus Christ there in that chariot, Philip wasn't too put out because of it. But he got down off the chariot with this Ethiopian eunuch, went into the water with him, and there in front of everybody baptized this Ethiopian eunuch. Nothing was too much because of Philip's love for God's people. We also see his love for people in verse 40. When the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip away from that amazing scene there on that road to Gaza and took him to Azotus, what did he do? But again, he was preaching the gospel as he passed through those towns, it says. Again, knowing the need of God's people, knowing that God had a love for these people, he continued to witness, he continued to preach, he continued to tell people about what God was doing in and amongst their lives. You see, because Philip knew and embraced the good news of God, because he was in touch with the people of God, because of God's love, he knew their greatest need. And their greatest need was for the gospel of Jesus Christ. No person, no place, no effort was too much for Philip because of his love for people that he received from God's love for him. We could almost say that because of Philip's love for God, because of what Philip did for that Ethiopian eunuch on the way to Gaza those many years ago, we as God's church here in Africa are beneficiaries of that love that Philip had for people. What about our love today? Do we have a love for God's people? Do we have a love for people that God wants to work in their lives to build his church? Or is our time too precious to us? Is our energy and our resources too precious to us? God gave his all to rescue us because he loved you and me so much. And so if we are to join God as a church in building and establishing God's kingdom here in this community, we see from Philip's life that we need to be in touch with God's Spirit. We need to be in touch with the gospel of God, and we need to be in touch with the people of God. If we want to share in the joys of building God's church, if we want to enjoy that contentment and that excitement and that blessing that comes with leading a person to Christ, then we need to be yielding to the Spirit's guidance in our lives. We need to be understanding and growing in our knowledge of the gospel and be willing to proclaim the good news of Jesus to those people that God leads us to. And we need to be doing it out of love for them, just as God loved us and brought the gospel into our hearts. All that we do, all that we are involved in terms of reaching family, friends, and this community and the world for Jesus, ought to be governed by this question. Are we joining God in what he is doing in the lives of people? Are we in touch with him? Being in touch with his Spirit, being in touch with his gospel, and being in touch with his love. Philip joined God in this way, and he had the privilege of building God's church where God led him to. I pray that may we as a church also experience that same joy that Philip had experienced or got to experience as we join God in building his church at the coffee corner, at the ATAP Center, in our homes, in our business places, with Barry Funnell or Daisy Naka on the mission field in the ends of the earth. May we join God in what he is doing amongst the people of this world, because we want to stay in touch with God and enjoy that great joy that he promises us as we build his church with him. May that be the case for us as a church here at Durban North Baptist. Let's pray together.